I had here something. What was it? What? Go ahead.
Here we are. No, I just saying, here we are. Here we are.
So you interrupted my momentum for here we are.
Here we are.
Okay. Say it in French. Give me some.
Here we are, and here we go again. You know that song, White Snake?
That's not how the song goes. Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's not here we are. I think it's here we go.
Do you think White Snake is tired of being blamed for burning that nightclub down, even though it was Great White?
You had to add that part because I'm like, no clue what you're doing.
But now you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, now I do. Yeah.
Yeah. They must be like, no, it was the other guys. It wasn't us. Okay. Somehow a nightclub fire wasn't a really funny start to the show.
No, I like it. I like it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's excellent. Hey, you're off in the right. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. That song by Great White. You know it.
I like it. Plus, it was I love when a joke doesn't land.
Yeah. I'm putting this part in so people think that you're the jerk.
Yeah. No, my favorite part is when jokes don't land and there's that sort of awkward pause.
Hello and welcome to episode 254 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
How's Vancouver, Adam? Mid-January, what's going on? Normally, you're knee deep in the football playoffs, right?
I am.
I don't know. People
like
are.
I'm not playing, right?
Well, normally, are you? I thought you were a free safety.
No, the football playoffs are going on full steam in the NFL. This is a very big weekend for, you know, the conference title games. I think I'm getting that right. I don't know.
It can't be. It's got to be because normally they have a week off and then the Super Bowl, and that's got to be in February, right?
Well, this week there's four games. So does that make the conference title games? Like the division title? I think it's the division title games. Because last week was a wild card, so they have the bye, so some teams didn't play. So yeah.
The quarterfinals.
Yeah. So there's four games today. Yeah, football's confusing to me in terms of what they call things, but pretty sure this is the division championships. Any of the US listeners are probably, you know, pounding their computer screen right now and laughing at us, but I am going to watch it. There's some good games today, and
when it comes to the nomenclature, nobody cares about who. How often is it like Seattle? Yeah, division champs of 2021. No,
yeah, that's true.
You want to be Super Bowl or last? It doesn't matter.
We'll call it the quarters. We'll call it the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Which, but normally for me, the semifinals, when there's four teams playing two games, those to me historically, I always like those games the best.
And that would be the conference championship when there's four teams left.
Right, whatever.
The NFL is two conferences. So yeah, I don't know. I think this would be divisions, but so some good games on tap today. So I will watch some football today.
Well, historically speaking, this would be the weekend though that like you start hanging out with your buddies, making too much cheese dip.
You know what? It's funny that you bring that up. Not the making cheese dip part, but I woke up today and associated football with what am I going to make to eat while watching football?
Right.
So I think that's cheese a dip. Very, no, I wasn't thinking cheese dip. I was thinking like, I was thinking pretzel bites, something like that. Like, you know, bake make something that, that, you know, I don't have every day, specialty.
Right. Is that a thing now? Like that's my big issue with the whole quarantine is that, like, especially with the kids, because we're not doing so much fun stuff right now, obviously, we're trying to do special things, like do things with the kids. You know what I mean? And how many special things can you do? And it's like, all right, tonight is hamburger night, and tomorrow is pizza night, and then the day after that, that's hamburger pizza night. And you're like, all right, now I'm a little bit heavy.
We actually had, you know, true story, hamburger pizza night this week.
Hamburger pizza?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
I was lying. I was making that up.
We really had that.
What is hamburger pizza?
You just basically make the crust, and then instead of putting like pizza sauce, you go straight to burger, cheese, burger toppings, and then on top of it, you put your like pickles and your mustard and ketchup or relish or whatever you put on a burger you make on the pizza, and no pizza sauce. And it is delightful.
Are you worried right now that I have hidden cameras installed in your house and I'm watching you 24/7?
No, you just came across what we came across was just an excellent idea. Why not?
Yeah, make I a was joking though. Because we made, and you do that in the air fryer, I'm guessing.
That was oven because it was too big. Like we made a giant, big rectangle that wouldn't fit in
pizza,
the air fryer.
We made homemade pizza. Yeah. In the air fryer for the first time last night.
Oh, delightful.
It is excellent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other thing. So we should talk about things we purchased to because of quarantine. Air fryer is one. We both kind of were talking about after the show ended last time.
Where'd you get your air fryer?
Amazon. Yeah. Same that's here. Where I got mine. Yeah.
I got mine on Amazon. Click through our site. There was, help us out. Hold on. Let me get the Amazon out of the way.
You got to pitch the site. Yeah. But I got an Amazon. And I'll tell you why. A, it was cheaper. And B, all of the stores, because we got ours for Christmas, all of the stores locally, the Best Buys of the world and Canadian Tires, and everybody was out of them. They were such a popular Christmas gift that the well-reviewed ones were in non-existence in the local stores. Plus, they were really expensive relative to Amazon. So this was a scenario where I couldn't even get one at a store, yet it was probably a third the price off on Amazon. So it was a good deal, and I didn't have to go out, which is always appreciated.
Yeah, I like going out, but I miss going out.
It's a love-hate relationship with
quick
me.
Quick update on our Amazon. Our actual, if you go to our homepage, you can still click on the Amazon link if you're in America and Germany and France, I think. In Canada, something's up in Canada.
Uh-oh.
We have worn out our Canadian Amazon welcome.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know why. And so right now, we used to have a page, an Amazon page, with all the links on it that people could go to, but in addition to our front page. But in an effort to try to make Amazon Canada happy, I deleted that because I keep getting messages in the email, that, you're in violation of our rules, and go ahead and fix it, and let us know when you fixed it. And I'm like, what are the rules? I don't know. Like, I really don't know the rules. And so they're like, yeah, you got to fix it though. Like, okay. Give me a hint. And so they're like, yeah, well, and it's like, oh yeah, you have an illegal link or something. And I was like, okay, well, that's not narrowing it down.
So does that mean the link won't work anymore for Canada?
It's gone. I had to delete it. So,
but if it's bookmarked, like if listeners have it bookmarked,
I don't know. No. Amazon kicked me off.
Huh.
Like Amazon Canada, Amazon America still works as far as I know, but Amazon Canada, and we're Canadian. #, I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But you should. But they're like, oh no, we have strict rules, and you're breaking the rules. And so I was like, okay, well, do I have like an old banner, because they're picky about stuff, and I'm a functioning idiot when it comes to the internet, like putting things up. I can do it, but let's not count on me. Okay.
Okay.
And so. So I was like, all right, well, I'll delete that. That's got to be a problem. And so then I submitted, and 2 days later, they're like, nope, still broken. still a problem. And I was like, okay, but what is it? I will fix it, because I want to keep doing this. And they're like, yeah, you got to keep guessing. And so that's when I took the other link down, and like the whole page. And I thought, maybe that's it. Maybe I'm not supposed to have two links on our page. Maybe that's a thing. And they're like, and they just said, no, and it's too late now. You're out.
Oh, nice.
So if you're in Canada, just go ahead and just go to Best Buy. And honestly, I let Amazon kick rocks, because I was trying. I was legitimately trying to appease them. And then now they're being snobby.
Okay. All right. So, well, that's too bad.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, Amazon. Just .ca. America, still go ahead. They still like us, evidently. Okay. Anyways, go finish up your What else did you buy on Amazon? Oh, you bought something else.
I didn't buy something else on Amazon. I did buy another small kitchen appliance that I'm in love with. And
okay.
Just got it. Only used it a couple of times. But wow, I'm sure you have one. You're in Germany, so you must have one. Like a stand mixer. Do you have one of those?
Yeah.
We never had one.
Right.
And it is, again, an amazing invention.
Did you get the KitchenAid?
No, we were at Costco, and they had like a Cuisinart one, and it had all the attachments, and it was, about half the cost of the KitchenAid. I'd been looking at the KitchenAid. I just couldn't justify it. Again, I know.
We don't have a KitchenAid either. We have a, whatever the German desk KitchenAid or something like that. We have the German one. The same thing as you, Cuisinart something.
And it is just fantastic. We made, I'm trying to think. Oh, we made donuts in the air fryer. So we made the dough from scratch, and then we made donuts in the air fryer. And the combination of, well, trying to make dough one time with the hand mixer, and then doing it in the stand mixer. Number one, you just walk away; it does the work. But it came out so much better too. So we'll be making, I think, a cake today, just as, again, something to do in the stand mixer, and got to figure out another new recipe for the air fryer. Although there's literally,
this is what I'm telling you, though, in the whole quarantine thing, it's like, yeah, we have to do some activities. Well, I'm tired of coloring with crayons, so let's get fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it, though. I'm not loving it.
Well, you just do more push-ups, so you got to buffer it, right?
I am. I'm still continuing to do that, and the not drinking is still happening.
Nice. Now. Yeah. I got out of my routine of push-ups for quite a while. My shoulders started giving me issues. I hadn't done it for probably, I don't know, 3 months, where I hadn't done a single push-up, and I was really starting to be unhappy about the whole situation, because I just was like, when is my shoulder going to feel good enough? I mean, I'm a physiotherapist, so I feel like I should be able to fix this. And finally got my shoulder down to a place where I could resume push-ups. And now my routine is, I think, again, my problem where I went wrong before was just volume, just doing too many in a day and trying to do too many per set. So now my focus is very much on just purely form. And I only do 25 at a time. So I do 25, but I'm trying, you know what, here's the thing. And I know, it was funny because I was talking to Lisa about this, and she's like, oh yeah, you seem to kind of tie it to certain things. So, you know, in physio world, if we're trying to get people to do, you know, a stretch more regularly, I'll say like, okay, well, every time before you go up or down your stairs, like, do this stretch, just kind of like a cue that reminds you to do it. And if, you know, right now you're at home most of the time and you've got a set of stairs, you're probably going to do it 4 or 5 times a day. You're going to go up and down those stairs. Well, I've kind of attached the push-ups to, you know, doing it when I wake up, before I go to bed. And then I'll just 25 then. I'm always going to do 25 in the morning. I'm always going to do 25 before I go to bed. Then I started saying, okay, before I get in the shower, I'm going to do 25. After I get out of the shower, I'm going to do 25. And that kind of buffers
my floor slippy, wham.
So I don't do too many in a row. And then I also get that breather, and the focus can be on form. And so, and then Lisa said, I don't know what podcast she was listening to. She was listening to a podcast. She's like, you know, someone was talking about this and just how to make things a habit. Like, you know, it's you're going to do it if it becomes just a habit. And it's funny, after doing it like that for the last 2 weeks or so, it's instinctive. I'm just like, oh, shower equals 25 push-ups, right?
Yeah.
So, just something that I find, maybe that's just how my brain works. My wife
laughs at that, because I also do push-ups. I tie mine to, I have to do X number before my first coffee in the morning, and then I have to do X number before my second coffee. And then right after that, I have to do another X. I'm not telling you what the X is, by the way. It's the math part. We'll do it at the end. It's algebra. And so once I get that second coffee done, I finish, and I'm done half for the day. That's how I tie it together. But the habit does form, because that's what I'm like I was saying. Like, I have not had a beer or any alcohol at all in 3 weeks. But beer's the toughest part, because it's not like, oh, I need to go have a bunch of alcohol. But it's tied. It's habit. It's tied to a bunch of things. Like that Pavlov guy said, if I do any work in the house, it's like, yeah, go relax, have a beer. Or anytime I finish doing anything, it's like, yeah, you did some exercise, yeah, go have a beer. So tie the good habits is what Adam is telling you. Tie the good things. Make those your habit.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I did the Don Komarechka Variety Hour yesterday.
Variety Hour? What does that mean?
I don't know. That's what he should call it. It's called Photo Geek Weekly, actually.
Okay.
But I did an episode of that.
You sing and dance or something?
No, I spin plates. And there's tigers. It's, yeah, it used to be better, but that Tiger King guy ruined it now.
Right.
No, so I did that. And one of the stories that we covered was, it's going to affect you, man. Like, are you ready?
Yeah.
Buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be a bumpy ride for you.
Okay.
No more in-store printing at Costco.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while here. I don't know about in Ontario, but we haven't had it for a while.
Oh, okay. So they said in the story, they said they had shuttered a number of stores, but now they're doing all of them. So I thought you had skated on the first round.
No, it hasn't been a thing at ours since quarantine started.
Oh, okay. Well, take your seatbelt off. You'll be fine.
Yeah, and so I've adjusted. You know what's funny is that, I mean, it's not funny, but it's the reality of it is like, I just haven't been printing anything.
Right.
I've run out of space to put photos up, and so it's just kind of been this online world. And I still haven't. I pulled photos to make for the calendar this year, which I'm going to get on this week. And I've pulled the photos. I just gotta lay them out in a VistaPrint calendar, and then get those printed, because that's something I always give to my parents each year as a present now.
Right.
Again, because we haven't seen them for a little while. The pressure's been off of having these calendars ready. But I think I'm going to do it this weekend, and then I'm just going to have it directly sent to their house because. Yeah, it's might be a little while before we see face to face.
Right. Okay.
So Costco not printing definitely puts a damper in. Like when I was cost cutting to do like one of those big group composites where I was able to, you know, save our team a ton of money or do it for somebody at a lower cost, it was because the cost of actually printing was going to turn out to be like $3 or $4 for this huge large print, because I would, you know, do the trick where you print it like 16 by 20 and then you cut it down the middle and you get these two big panoramas. Those days are done. That is all gone because Costco and their extraordinarily low price, good quality.
Well, they must do online ordering still, though.
Yeah, and it'll be there in a month. Like I saw what the online is, and it is not a quick turnaround. Uh-huh. And yeah, just I'm not. It's not going to be something that I'm going to use. So
boo. Too bad, man.
Yeah. So bye bye to those days. Those are days.
I was saying on his show that like I we still have in store printing at the place I use. It's called the DM. It's like kind of like your Shoppers Drug Mart there.
Yeah.
And they have the printing, but you can do it online, which is normally what I do because they do like 10 times better work for way cheaper. But if I need something quickly printed, I'll buzz into the DM and get it done. So it's like a 4x6 is like 25 cents or something like that.
Right.
If you send it in, it's 8 cents, but, you know, and it goes up from there, not very much. But the quality, like I said, the quality on the online order is like 3 times better, at least. Like, it really, they do a great job. But there's times where I need something quick, and so I'll just pop in. And so that's what I figured you would do. But I don't know who pops into Costco. Isn't it? It's kind of a day, isn't it?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a bit of a mess here right now with quarantine. It's just, right. Yeah, it's a mess of humanity there. I try to minimize any trips to Costco. I'm not a fan of what's going on over there, yeah.
No. Yeah. That's a whole separate.
That's another Costco related podcast. Yeah,
we'll solve lockdown next week.
Okay,
we'll been scanning negatives. That's what I've been doing the last few days, trying to corral all of my photos together and have them in one place and finally organized. You know, and so as I said before, I think I got most of my digital ones sort of wrapped up and sorted out and. Which is much easier because generally, unless the EXIF data is incorrect, you can generally sort those by year. Sometimes they get corrupted, you know, or it goes missing and you have to kind of guess what year it was. But with the scans, you have, like, I had old scans, I had, you know, newer ones, I had ones I hadn't scanned yet and negatives, and you're trying to remember, like, okay, what year was that? Like, was that 1981 or 1982, you know, like I just try to get it close so I can generally have an idea of where things are. But
so when they make a documentary of your life and they want to pull these photos, that it's very organized for them.
No, the documentary will be about me scanning and no one will watch. It's just going to be boring as all hell. Yeah, it's terrible.
No, the scanner, that's what they're going to call it, the scanner.
The scanner, yeah. There's that. Well, no, I'm when I get arrested next week, you'll know why.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, like, for example, I'm trying to piece together, okay, what year was this photo? Now, there's a photo of me actually reffing a hockey game. And it's like the final gold medal game at the Richmond tournament, midget tournament from years ago. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what year it is. However, I do remember in that game, there was for the Alaska team, there was a complete stud hockey player by the name of Scott Gomez, who then went on to have a pretty solid NHL career.
Mm-hmm.
So all I had to do was Google Scott Gomez midget, and it tells you, oh, that was the year. So it was 1995, I think.
Okay. Good sleuthing.
Not going to jail. Well, here's where I'm going to go to jail. And so I'm looking at, there's a picture of me in my Cub Scout uniform with my Cub car, my little race cars that you make that ensures that you'll never, ever kiss a girl. And then, so I'm like,
are we seeing this photo? Are you going to show?
I might put it up there. We'll see.
I'm looking for it. No, I don't see it. No, the reffing or the Cub Scout.
Oh, it's not in there yet. No, I'll fire him up there later then. So there's one of me in Cub Scouts, and then so, but I'm like, I have no idea when this was. So I Google Cub Scout age Canada, and it's like that's gonna hurt. Like, there's no way I'm gonna not be arrested for that.
Right.
No.
I don't know. Maybe
I thought it was dodgy. Who Googles age of Cub Scouts?
You're overthinking it. I think most people that might do it have a legitimate reason, but yeah, there's probably some pervy people mixed in there too.
I had a legit reason.
So. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not everybody's a pervert, man.
Okay. But you ruined it for everybody is what you're saying.
No, I am okay. Not.
I got you. I got you.
But you know what? It's funny. You say that. And I sometimes when I'm Googling things, like for whatever information, I do a double take on it as well. Thinking like, huh? Like I'm trying to think of an example, but you know, when you're having random conversations with people and then, you know, something comes up where you're like, okay, let's just check that. And then you start thinking, they're like, whoa, I don't know if you'd want that in your Google history. And I'm just thinking, huh, like, I guess you're right. And then if you think yeah. about all of the things that you might, you know, possibly Google, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of weird kind of like that, an observer who has no context might, interpret, improperly.
It's the combination I find. Like if it's one thing, it's fine. But like if you ever see somebody at the grocery store and you look at like each individual item they're buying, totally reasonable. But the fact that they're buying them together sets off alarm bells.
Yeah, they're making bombs. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not what
butter
I was getting
bombs.
At.
They're making butter bombs.
I was like, wow, okay, you have four packs of toilet paper and a pair of rubber gloves. Like, what do you got going on here? Where's this headed? I don't know. Yeah.
And then gasoline, smelling salts. Yeah, it's the whole combination. Yeah.
Wait, you got zip ties, and I don't think you should be able to buy those together. That's somebody's
like,
checking that out.
There's like a combo alarm that goes off at the till.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Who needs that much plastic? I don't know. Don't throw it down. What are you, Dexter? Come on. You had to make it weird. I was going, okay. Anyways. Where was I getting at? Oh, yeah, the lockdown is continuing. Let me complain about that for half a second only. And you tell me how, because your kids are still in school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, our kids are not in school here. Like the school did not go back after the break for the
big
first week.
Surprise, Germany.
Okay, if you start mashing up numbers, it's the exact same as Canada, but okay,
big
whatever.
Surprise. Big surprise.
Exact same number. Believe me, I've been paying attention. It's the exact same numbers as Canada.
Have you guys gone exponentially down in the last 2 to 3 weeks?
I don't know. Has anybody?
Yeah, because you'd need that to happen in order for it to be a match from
really?
What's
because
going on
I'm
here.
Watching Ontario light itself on
oh,
fire.
Oh, maybe Ontario, BC, just down, 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 down. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm talking about Canada. Canada. You said Germany. You didn't say Baden-Württemberg. You said Germany.
That's true. I
so
did.
If you're going to specify,
Sorry.
If you're gonna,
but you guys are still on lockdown, which, I mean, if they're doing it by geography, they would be paying attention to what's going on locally.
Don't start with the political stuff because you're gonna get me fired up. Okay.
Okay. Nobody wants.
No. Here's the thing. So the kids didn't go back to school. They should have gone back. Where I live, the kids should be back in school. It's absolute. That's what you're talking about. Like there's no reason for my kids to not be in school. It's absurd.
Okay.
However, but my wife, who is a vice principal and a teacher, she still has to go in every day because you have like for the kids whose parents have those jobs.
Care jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've expanded that like across the board to like pretty much any job, not even frontline care. It's just like any job that's necessary.
So she's got a low population of students at her school, but she has to be there.
But you know, here's the thing, and so. So it's any parent who even the parents who work from home, they've recognized that you can't work from home and have kids in your house. You can't do it. Like I can't do it. I don't even have a job. I can't do it. It's not possible. Oh no! Anytime you're trying to get any momentum on anything, like I'm Googling zip ties and toilet paper, and like all of a sudden, Daddy, I need help. I was like, oh.
Right.
You know, so they recognize that you can't do it. And so even people who work at home are sending their kids into school. Okay. So she basically has half her class is in school.
Right.
Half is at home. So she now has to teach a full class, like a full lesson plan to half her class and devise a second full plan for the kids at home. And she has to do both at the same time.
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't do that here. There's
no way.
Makes
total sense. Good job, Germany.
Yeah.
So my wife's losing her mind.
Yeah, and I that's the exact problem that I don't know. Like, is it unionized there in Germany with teaching?
Uh huh.
Yeah, and the union didn't like shut that down.
I don't know what the union does here. I don't pay attention to stuff, but yeah, there is union stuff, unfortunately,
because that's way beyond like what's really feasible. Now, as an administrator, which your wife is, that's a different story. Like again, the rules are different, but I can't imagine that the teachers in Germany are just, yeah, sure. Well, we're just going to double our workload.
Well, and plus it's day-to-day.
You can't be doing the whole, like, again, this is a whole other issue, but the only thing I'll say is, like, it's not practical for them to be teaching, unless they're just running a recording of what they're doing in class, a live stream. The only scenario is that, okay, you're going to have to teach this because you have to, the kids are there. So you have to spend your time with them and then redo that with the home. And so unless you're doing some very, cut down version of that for the kids at home, it's not doable.
Nope.
So that's the absurdity. Yeah.
But it's going to go on for two more weeks too. The plan was going to be for 1 week, and then we'll see what the numbers are, and then possibly on Monday they'd go back. And they just announced it's two more weeks. So, which is, I actually don't care. It's working out for us because we'll get into that when we go to the shoot anything interesting.
Okay, but wait. One more thing to aggravate you. Do you actually believe that any of these two weeks mean anything?
Am I writing it down like, okay, my kids will be back in school in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Because to me, it's all, every bit of it is just stall tactics. None of it has made sense.
Have you ever been on a flight? Like, you've ever been waiting for a flight at the airport and, oh yeah, we're delayed 20 minutes. And then you're delayed 20 minutes 12 times. And by the time you're done, it's like, yeah, it was 6 hours delay. But and they knew it'd be 6 hours, but they can't tell you 6 hour delay.
Right.
If they tell you 20 minutes, we'll boil the frog. You'll be fine.
Right.
That's what's happening. I mean, keep in mind, we're still in the middle of our initial 2 week lockdown to flatten the curve in March. That's what it was. That's the other. Hey, 2 weeks, give us 2 weeks, we'll flatten the curve. And it's like, all right, you're at a year now. And guess what? Yeah. And then now, here's the other thing, too. Bavaria, a different state, they've announced that they're putting forth legislation requiring that people wear the full N95 or better surgical masks in public. No more face coverings. Has to be a surgical mask.
Wow, that's going to be expensive.
So what are we doing?
Yeah, that's going to be expensive.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other thing. They're claiming that, well, they're available and cheap now and et cetera, but here's the thing. You have a vaccine. You're not administering it. You're not rolling it out. Canada's messing it up. Germany's messing it up. America's messing it up. How about you stop messing it up? I'm on board. I'm on board. I'll put my head down and keep doing this until Feb 28. If you guys can't get your act together at March 1, I'm letting her rip.
What does that mean?
I'm going up. I'm not doing this anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to go out in public and do whatever I want because obviously you have fumbled the ball.
Hey, Germany, because, Al's coming.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It could Germany, Canada, it doesn't matter. I've kind of hit a wall. I'm tired of watching incompetent people. I understand this is a horrible situation. I'm not that guy. I'm not saying, right. Would like some people to sort of handle this better. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
What's the German FBI called?
The Stasi.
Okay, I hope none of them.
No, I'm just kidding. That's the East German guys. I hope none of the
German police are listening right now.
I don't think anybody's listening right now. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you're safe.
Let's do photo. Come on, do some photo stuff.
Okay.
Reminder, monthly challenge for this month. Hey, it's almost the end of the month by the time you get done this podcast. That is the bright side. We want to hear the bright side. After I just went all negative for a sec there, we want to see the bright side of life. I want to see some happy times. Put that on Instagram, hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers, even better. Do both of those things and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. I think the whole hashtag ban is probably done, so I think we should be good there.
Okay.
Okay, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did. I mean, you decide if it's interesting. I went for a little photo walk. We had some terrific weather this week, so I got out a couple times and just kind of went for a walk. And one of those times I decided, yeah, I'm going to bring my camera and I'm going to, you know, it was kind of a nice day with nice light. And I thought I was by myself. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to shoot portraits. I'll see what's out in my neck of the woods as far as something interesting I can take a photo of. And I brought my little prism and I took a shot of some boats just using the prism instead of my daughter as the model this week. I used the boats And then you can see the cool kind of light spectrum effect on the boats that I just love. Like, you get something different every time, whether you want a reflection or whether you get some crazy kind of like, you know, rainbows happening, a rainbow effect on your subject matter, depending on how you manipulate it and the time of day and the kind of light, you just always get something different. And so I just put a photo of a couple of boats that I saw as I was walking kind of, you know, down to Gary Point. I took a photo. Mm-hmm.
Scotch Pond, right?
Yeah. So I've got a 70-200 on my camera on the 6D with the prism at F4, and the lens sees past that prism pretty nicely at F4 with it zoomed way in. So there you go. So that I just like the effect. I could see, not that the photo itself is anything special, just that I liked the prism effect. And then in my head,
it's
I'm
got
like
a funky kind of light leak.
Yeah.
Light leak look to it.
Look, and it,
say that
and
again.
And this is kind of towards the sun, that reflection, like the sun is just camera left. And so that effect you get almost like a prism lens flare. Like, it's sort of like what happens when that sun kind of hits the lens with the prism in front of it pretty directly. So I like that. I saw that would be a useful scenario when I get a similar light and time to try to shoot a portrait and see if I could get these kind of rainbows all over my subject. I think that's kind of what I had in mind when I showed that photo. And then I saw just as I turned the corner and now my back is to the sun in that same water, but with, again, just a different orientation, I get the sun as my light source. I shot a picture of a duck as it was kind of a very calm water. There was basically no wind. And I took a picture of a duck in a similar spot, almost exactly the same spot as I shot a photo, I don't know, a year ago of a blue heron. So
blue heron.
It was a familiar spot. But what I loved was just the weird kind of reflection that just your brain kind of looks at and goes, huh? Because the reflection's pretty still. I mean, if you stare at it, you'll see, you know, the little bit of movement in the water, but that movement is almost entirely just from the duck. Like, so the duck's coming across the image. You got the reflection of what are those things called? Those boathouse things? Like, I don't know. Is that what it's called?
A boathouse thing?
You know, the structure that the duck is going, you see the reflection.
Oh,
of
the
it.
Reflection of just, I don't know, boathouse.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I'm the what
by the
whatever.
Cannery? No, I don't know. No, it's not Bobby Cannery. That's also Scotch Pond.
Yeah, and there's that big structure house thing. But anyway, so the I like the ladder. I kind of waited for the duck to go past the ladder because I just like that ladder, and I like how it's hard to know where the reflection begins outside of, you know, placing the duck there. If you look at the rest of the image, it's just your brain kind of goes, what's going on here? Like, this just, something doesn't seem right because of the reflection being so still and it not matching the top of the image, right? So it was just something interesting, and I just like how the green head of the duck just really kind of pops and the reflection looks cool, and just how still. I like still water with one thing moving in it for whatever reason, just kind of is interesting to me. So there was my photo walk and a couple of shots, non-portrait related, that I took.
One of my favorite bands from the 70s is Stillwater.
Stillwater, there you go.
Fever Dog, yeah. Great tune. Awesome. I like the symmetry of that. It took me a few times looking at it to figure out where the reflection begins. I thought it was actually lower.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's up higher, isn't it?
Yeah, it's way up higher where you see the ladder. But because of where the duck is and the angle and where the water movement is, yeah. And it, because it's also, it just kind of the way it blurs and with the darkness, it is very hard to tell where the reflection begins. But yeah, way up at the top of the image by the, which is why you don't see any of those doors in the reflection.
Nice.
Or in the original image that's being reflected. Yeah.
Right. All right. So here's what I shot. I shot a bunch of snow stuff. This is homeschooling, by the way.
Okay.
This is what we do.
This is what you do. Well, you're learning about acceleration and
we're learning to have fun. We're learning that homeschooling is a stupid waste of time.
Okay.
And so my son, they go in Monday morning and pick up their package for the week, right?
Okay.
Of all the things they have to accomplish in German and math and all that stuff. And so I don't really help them with the German part, obviously, because I don't want to corrupt the kid. But math, that's my domain, and so my whole goal right now is that I help him with his math to do it as fast as he possibly can. I show him all the cheating trick, without not cheating, but like all the tricks on how, like, here you have 10 questions they want you to do. If you do the first part of each question first, like rip down, do all 10, and then go back and then fill in the blanks, it's wicked easy. Because I don't teach him how to do the math. I teach him the best way to get it done.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that he can get his, and so I try to encourage him to do his entire week's work on Monday, and then he has the rest of the week to go out, you know, sledding. That's my move. But he doesn't do the whole week. He kind of blows through it. He's usually done. He's his school day by about 9 a.m. and he's done for the day.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Do you still have a daughter?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, she's really good at her math, actually. Like, just start. No, honestly, just so is my son. My son's wicked good.
What does she do with her schoolwork? While you and your son are out playing, what does she do?
Well, she's not as obsessed about bobsledding.
So she's back home, kind of cooking you guys lunch,
something like that. No, she goes out bobsledding as well. I posted a picture of her this week.
Okay,
she does, but she's not obsessed. Like my son yesterday, it snowed a bunch yesterday. And so he went out. He got out there around 10 in the morning. Quickly came home for some lunch, about 20 minutes, and went back out. And then he came back at night at like just after 6. It was so dark, like you couldn't even in the snow you couldn't see a thing. He was still bombing down the hill. So point being, this was day one. This was last weekend, or this might have been just before homeschooling. The first picture you can see a lot of grass in this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is how obsessed my son is. He went and took it. Was like it warmed up a little bit, so he went and him and his buddy went and scoured the entire hillside for every bit of snow that was in a bit of shade, and built his own little track down. So the rest is grass. He just built. He's like, forget it. I'm still going to do it. Build a little ramp. That's why he's catching a little bit of air there. It's his favorite thing. And then a couple days later, it snowed again, and so you can see there's a picture of my daughter. Getting ready to do some what they call it bob faring, schlittenfahren here, like tobogganing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's about to head out, and then you can see there's my son, number three. He's just ready to get some air. He's into it.
Nice.
And then he is catching air, and then one of him kind of going fast, and the blurry catching air.
Mm-hmm. I like I have that some one other the best. Ones. I like the one, the panning one from the side the best.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. That's a fun one. I didn't nail it. I wanted him to do a couple more passes so I could nail it, and he just told me to kick rocks. So it's like, yeah, hey, thanks, buddy. And this, those, these, the last four, the first one was with, I forget which camera that was, but, probably the Mark III, the 5D, but the other ones are all with the X100, which just performs unbelievable out in that sunshine, like the sunshine and the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Like just quickly set it, just quickly dial it into a plus one on the exposure compensation and, fire it off on aperture priority. And it just nails it every time. And doing 8 frames a second, it just powers through. You get amazing shots. And in fact, there's a couple more good ones that I'm saving, because one I'm pretty sure will be my monthly challenge. So I'll save that for a couple weeks.
Okay.
So that's it. That's homeschooling. So we don't mind terribly about homeschooling. All right. Photo challenge this week was, it's the hair challenge. It's the hair off.
The LED.
And LED though. Mm-hmm. And LED. So, okay, did you shoot something LED and something else? I'm seeing two catch lights.
Two LEDs, different LEDs.
One ring light, one.
One just LED. Panel, yeah. One okay. Panel, yeah. So both LEDs. Ring light was the key light, and then mm-hmm. Just slightly. I wanted to make sure, again, there was enough light on the hair. The hair was the key when I was lighting. So just two lights, one camera right and one camera left, but one a little bit more on axis. And that's the ring light, which you see as the bigger catch lights in his eyes. Uh-huh. And that's it. Like just basically season of taste, because it's continuous lighting. I can kind of see what it is going to look like on him, and just a black sheet in the background. I asked him to change his shirt, which he did not comply. So I wish his shirt was white. He doesn't have a lot of white shirts, but even gray. I wanted a different color so that it would stand out from the background. But I also wasn't going to, again, he was complying with the photo. So he had done his hair. So I was like, all right, that's probably as far as I'm going to take this. So, that's my only regret was that he didn't have a different color shirt on. There were shots. I should put one in the box of him, because it's an Under Armour shirt, which has white writing on the front. And if I shot it a little wider, which I had wider shots that include the shirt, which really, because of the text on the shirt, pull it from the background better. But uh-huh. He didn't have, he had a very pouty smile, like very, uh-huh. like, I don't want to be here. I'm going to send you one just because you have to see, and you're going to have to post it now that we talked about it. So here, I'm going to send you as we speak, a version of it. But yeah, bottom line is it was a really simple lighting photo. To light the hair and evenly light the face with the LED. So I highly recommend if someone has an LED or two that you want to get a quick shot of a kid. Uh-huh. Good way to do this. Yeah,
I do want a second LED all of a sudden. That's funny.
Yeah,
I do. I like mine, but
the ring light is awesome. I would suggest.
Is it big enough to like? I thought this was a small ring light.
No, it's reasonably big. Like I can put my whole camera through it.
Ah, okay.
And it was $30, and Sarah does not much care for it, so I believe that I got myself a new ring light. And it came, here's the thing.
The battery's built in or what?
Yeah, I have to plug it in. Like, you can get batteries again like it for it, but I have just the plug-in, right? Because it was $30 with a stand that also has, like, a ball joint for adjustment, all for $30 on Amazon. And so kind of ridiculous. I don't know how the longevity of this thing, what it's going to last.
Right.
But I mean, oh my gosh. And you can change color temperature. You can change brightness on it. It has a little remote. Like, give me a break, Amazon. Like, what's going on? Or not even Amazon. These companies that are making this stuff. Like, right. this is ridiculous. Yeah. 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 It's being made in China for sure. It says that on the box. Yeah.
Also because, you know, you live in this world, you know. What's going on? Yeah, and the hair looks good. The hair, it's a bit of a Bob's Big Boy. It looks, it totally, I'll buy a burger.
It totally is.
Yeah, I'll buy a burger from this kid.
Okay, I'm going to just quickly, I hope it shows up in 1 second, provide a little bit of feedback on how much different, same lighting exactly. The only difference is that I've shot it with a little bit wider. I didn't have any room. Like, I shot the photo that I included because I like his smize, the smile with the eyes. So I like that photo. The photo that I've just uploaded, it should be there now, is it?
Not there yet.
Okay, it says
pouty. Oh, there it is. I see the pout, yeah.
It says pouty.
Oh,
see,
look at, yeah, you moody. Just brooding.
But at the same time, just the text on the shirt completely makes all the difference to pull the background, right?
No. I like the one you included better. Oh, no, the text.
Me too. Just for the fact that it's a nicer smile and a better look on his face. But man, this is kids for you. Like, come on, man. Get your smile together.
Yeah, no, every dad has his own photo podcast and takes like award-winning photos every single week. Have you seen some of your friends' parents' photos?
No.
They suck. Not the ones listening to the show, of course. They listen to the show, you're going to do great.
Yeah.
But the non-listeners, it's like, yeah, all right, yeah, just tons of headroom. Maybe you're in focus. Moving on. Once a year.
Here's the sad part is that two LEDs, right? Like two LEDs, yeah. And then just, you know, set them up on almost like 45s, put your kid in the middle. Like, you can't miss. Like, it's crazy. And you could take this picture with your phone in the new iPhone portrait mode and just be like, yeah, I'm good. And every, like the lighting is even, but it's still got some shape. Like, oh my gosh, for this cost, it's almost unfair that these lights are this cheap and this good. So
yeah,
if you don't own any of this stuff, I think it's well worth the $35 investment, and you're gonna be pretty happy.
Well, I am happy with mine. I don't have the $35 one yet. I might get that to add on it, but I do have the one LED, and so I shot a bunch of photos this week to try to showcase my kid's hair. Now he does actually need a haircut, but he needs a proper trim at a barber, and they're closed right now. So he wants me to cut his hair, but I will not, because look at that salad. Look at how amazing. Look at those curls, buddy.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
That's bar down right there. That kid is bar downski. And I'm actually kicking myself because I should have got a shot of him with his hockey helmet on and the flow out the back. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I did baseball hat. All I could do was baseball hat. That was the backup. So the main one, I wanted to focus on the hair. That was part of the challenge. And I did make him change his shirt. He did go to the white shirt. That's the funny thing. This is just one LED kind of just off the camera, right? And, not much else to say. Just get a nice angle. You get the catch lights in the eyes. I would have liked to add a light in behind to really light up his kick ass flow, in the back there, but, he was not having it.
Okay.
So, and again, this is the least of his pouts. He was doing some pouting himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a number of photos. I was like, okay, look, you can help me out or not? Or are you just going to sit there and whine, do face whining and whatnot? But so this was it. But I actually like the baseball one better because it was outside, obviously. Yeah. Didn't showcase the hair as much, but I wanted to have it flow at the back there. But
I think it showcases it in a different way because, like, you get the backlighting, which kind of lights it up. So no,
yeah.
it's subtle, but it's definitely good hair shot.
Yeah, and I also wanted to try the LED outside because this is like right at the crack of noon, very very cold out. It's actually like it's probably like around zero, maybe minus one. But he went t-shirt anyways. And we were outside for 30 seconds. That's the beauty of the LED, right?
Yeah.
And so with the sun beating down, I put the sun behind him, which sounds – that's not true. I put him so the sun was behind him. I didn't touch the sun.
Right.
And made sure that was the backlight. That's lighting his shoulders, his hat, and his hair, and I exposed for that. And the beauty of the LED, obviously, is that you can jam that exposure down with the shutter speed. You're not limited – by the aperture, right?
Yeah.
Because it's continuous light. So I cranked that right down, and then I lit his face with the LED. However, you're outside, you're cranking it way down, the shutter speed. Any idea how far away from his face the LED is?
So, sorry, where are your settings? Where are you at?
I'm outside. I don't know what the settings are. It's like ISO 100. Shutter speed is very fast to knock down that sunshine.
Oh, then it's got to be crazy close. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, to knock down that exposure and then light him that evenly, it is almost touching his face. Like yeah. It is so just out of frame in order to just get an exposure on his face.
Yeah.
But it worked. It worked out pretty well. I mean, that's pretty good fill. Probably could have achieved the exact same thing with a bounce card, but I didn't have anybody with me. So, and the whole plan was the LED.
Gotcha.
Point is, love the LED. All right, topic this week. Let's get into it. We have we had some sharpness issues. You had some the last few weeks. And,
I think it's been longer than that.
Yeah, I wanted to just make you feel better.
It's not my fault.
Okay.
That's the anthem of the new generation. It's not my fault.
Okay, but do you really want to get into that? That's a whole other podcast, man.
Let's call the new podcast, It's Not My Fault.
Okay.
Why I'm not better at photography, It's Not My Fault. It's your fault. You're a bad teacher. There's no bad students, only bad teachers.
You know, it's funny you mention that because I'm actually raising my kids and myself. I used to be kind of that way. I'm raising my kids to make everything their fault. It's right. Your fault.
I agree. What can I do? How can
but
I
normally,
be
yeah, but normally that is a successful way to live. Moving forward with everybody shifting blame, that's you're going to be in rarefied air. You're going to be something special if you're accountable for your own actions. You'll be one of the very, very, very few people. So I'm just saying the opportunity is out there to be a rock star of taking stock of your own, taking charge of your own life.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's going to be a scarce thing.
I agree seldom, but this is one point I agree with you with like full force.
You can break everybody down. You can break two. There's two categories of people: the successful people and people with a good excuse.
Yeah. Yep.
And which one do you want to be? It's you can be one of those two people. The end. That's it. Okay. All right. So let's get into to why this is your fault.
Okay.
I have noticed that your images haven't been as sharp. It could be my eyesight. Like I actually made an appointment for the eye doctor, which is not until May, unfortunately, but not because of your stuff. just in life, just because I'm getting older, and you should probably do that every now and then, right?
I had to do that, and I got glasses a few years back, and it was a life changing difference for sure.
Okay.
Right around 40, yeah. they go south. That's what happens. Yeah.
Right. I think it was probably around 45. I'm still fine, but I'm guessing it's one of those things. Like you're supposed to get, you know, a bunch of things checked. So I'm probably going to have the eye doctor just check my prostate while I'm there. Just two
yeah.
for one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that they're qualified too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just do it. I got a guy down at the train station out back. He'll just do all of it.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that, you know, you can get it checked after you get your groceries too.
Yeah. You can probably do that. They do it at Costco now. Since they have a whole bunch of space left over from where the photo printers were.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to the bottom of the issues. I have noticed for a while that your images they're not popping like they would, I would like them to, or you would even like them to maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't spend enough time. Like I do, I'm frustrated when I see it, when we look at it in the low res versions are usually what I'm looking at when we're talking about our challenge photos. And that's where I notice, I'm like, what? Something's not right. But yeah, right. you tell me what
well,
I'm
Well, because
messing
I thought,
up.
I thought for you looking at it, I thought it was a shooting issue. And so we went back and you said, no, like they're tack sharp. In like the raw files are tack sharp, and I was like, "All right, well, maybe you're lying to me. I don't know." And so you sent me a raw file today, and it is tack sharp. So that means the issue is not in the shooting; it's in the post processing.
And the key thing there is because I could have just sent you a lucky photo. We looked at the same photos, a couple of the photos we sent last week that were challenge photos, and a couple others that I took of Sarah. At the little session I did of her at Gary Point, and we sent a number of photos that we had seen did not look sharp in the JPEG. So that's the key, right? Like they didn't look right in the JPEG, and they sent you the raw files that did look right. So we're trying to figure out what is happening. That's my concern. What's happening by the time it gets to the JPEG?
That's the thing. So now, here's how we want to maximize our photo quality. let me rephrase that. Not maximize, because there is the law of diminishing returns. Because so I don't go crazy bananas with the amount of sharpness. I do kind of a basic sharpening. I don't go deep with multiple layers and over, you know, all kinds of fancy sharpening. There is really fancy heavy duty sharpening that like someone like your Don Komarechka previously mentioned would do. Like that guy's he's crazy about it and great, and it looks amazing.
And I think this isn't necessarily for everybody, but this is really pertaining to not wanting to put out full res files on the internet, especially in Don's case, that might get stolen, but wanting to put out. Yeah, exactly. But wanting to put out good looking small res files for people to see, right?
He got a Christmas card this year from a friend. Yeah. From a friend, someone like it wasn't like they went and got a photo and made a Christmas card. They bought it online off some online retailer. They bought a Christmas card with his photo, a photo he done, one of his images, and sent it to him. Hey, Merry Christmas! Oh, by the way, you're gonna want to sue these people.
Oh, so they recognized it was his photo.
Yes, they did it for a joke slash heads up. You're gonna want to talk to these folks because they did not license that image. They were just selling it as Christmas cards online.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, fortunately, we're not very good photographers, so no one steals our stuff.
Yeah, nobody steals our stuff. Although there could be, you know, Jack could be on billboards in, like, the Philippines or something with selling, I don't know, eye makeup. Who knows? Whatever they might be selling.
Hey, as long as he's moving some units, that's good for him.
So I'm still waiting. Like, if any of our listeners in the Philippines could keep their eye out, yeah, let me know if Jack or Sarah appear on any ad campaigns.
Please, please do. Okay. So, so what's soul happening
glow
is
for your kids, soul glow.
Yeah. So right. the issue is in the, first of all, it's the resizing and the exporting and the sharpening. There's a number of things that are happening with Adam's photos. So let's talk about the best way to get your photos ready for the web, specifically for Instagram, because that's where you're going to share them for the monthly challenge. And I find that the Instagram size is pretty decent for just regular, any other sharing solution that you use. Okay. Now, I don't really use any. I might send them to my wife via text or whatever it is, but I don't share them on Facebook or whatever it is. But my images that I post for the show are sized specifically to be optimized for Instagram.
Okay, I don't do any of this. I just
You sort of do. You thought you were.
Yeah, maybe.
And you stopped.
Well, I think that my knowledge of the exporting variables is very rudimentary. And so yep. I think we discussed this, you know, years ago about, okay, how do you want me sizing them for when I send them to you? Because you do the posting. And whatever that parameter I initially set is what I've gone with. Now, I don't know what's changed in between, but I guess Lightroom's changed and maybe some of the sliders have changed over the time and we've never rediscussed. And so I don't know exactly what I've done to degrade the resolution, but something, there's some funny business that has gone on and I must have slid something somewhere.
Let's fix that. Well, no, I don't know that you have. I think it's, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's talk about the process. First of all, you're shooting raw. So you have these full res files. Whatever your camera is, let's say you're shooting with the X100, 24 megapixels, 6,000 by 4,000. That's an easy one because they don't do the crazy little 5788 by 30 and all that nonsense that you get in those other cameras, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got 24 megapixels. Obviously, you're not going to upload that. So we're going to shrink it down. Now, the best size for Instagram is they started off doing a square. They wanted to keep everybody shooting square, but now the best size is a 4x5 ratio.
Okay.
4x5, like 8x10 essentially, but that's 4x5. Mm-hmm. So 4x5 up and down. That's the perfect shape for Instagram and for people's phones. The resolution, the number of pixels, unless it's changed this week, I even double checked last week, is maximum 1080 wide, So they'd like 1080 by 1080, but if you do 1080 by 1350 up and down, and I'll write these numbers down for you, Adam.
Okay.
By 1350 up and down, that's going to display perfectly on Instagram without having to then resize. So let's say you get your image all set. You do 2,000 up and down or whatever that corresponds to, I guess, 1,600 wide across. Instagram is going to shrink that. It's going to resize it for Instagram. You don't want to put that into the hands of somebody else to resize. You want to handle it. Remember, it's your fault. You handle everything, right? Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is, first of all, it starts from exporting. How do we shrink it down? Well, I know you're exporting yours at 1080 by 1080. That was the setting that we set.
Yeah, long edge 1080, yeah.
Right. What we want is the width to be 1080 and then the corresponding height. Now, if it goes larger, if it's 2,000 by 1080, you're going to have to crop it. Like right. Instagram will crop it. It will not display the entire image. But that's a whole separate issue. We'll deal with that at a different time. What we want to deal with is the best way to sharpen this right now.
Okay.
So what you're doing, so you're processing your images, you're shooting them with your 6D, let's say, bring them into Lightroom, adjusting the sliders. Do you adjust the sharpness slider in Lightroom?
No.
Me neither. Whatever it's set to, just the basic, because of the whole idea of the way the sensor works. What's the sensor called? The Bayer interpolation, blah blah blah, boring nonsense. The way it works is it's not going to be crazy sharp. Like, it's getting better and better as the pixels get smaller, and it's getting very very good, but you still kind of want to control the sharpening yourself. So I don't bother. I just leave it in the raw files in Lightroom. I don't touch the sharpening. It's later on. So leave that as it is. Now when you go to export, you're exporting them as 1080 by 1080. Are you applying sharpening upon export?
No.
No, you're not. Now that's an issue. You're going to find out that you will get slightly better results if, when you go to export, if in your little export preset, if you scroll down, you'll see a sharpening option.
Okay.
And it'll say sharpen for screen, sharp whatever the other options are. When I do export from Lightroom to a JPEG, I add sharpening for screen. I don't get into the details about, you know, how much this, how much that, or specifics. It's just kind of a catch-all. It does a halfway decent job.
And then standard, it sort of gives you options for low, standard, high, just standard for screen.
Yeah. Just your basic settings. That's what I do. Because most of the stuff that I do that for, I don't really care. I don't really care exactly the perfection. Now, the pictures I do for the show, I do not export as JPEGs. That's the trick. I do a twofold. But so what you're doing is, first of all, you're resizing without sharpening. So you're going to get soft results. That's just going to happen.
Okay.
If you then, in that process, if you add that sharpening step to happen at the same time, you'll get slightly better results.
Okay.
But I find that the order of operations, like math, is very important. I always sharpen as the very last step, no matter what resolution I'm doing. If I'm making prints, I do very little sharpening, as odd as that may seem, like when I do full res prints. But if I'm doing any sharpening, it's the very last step I do, and then save it as a JPEG after. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's have a look at one of your images. This is the one from, it's Gary Point from last week. And that's the one that you saved. Okay, yeah, a little bit soft. We're looking at this one from last week. It's a little bit soft. How did you export this?
Just in my standard way out of Lightroom, where I put the long edge as 1080 pixels, the resolution as 72 pixels per inch, and then there's a quality slider in Lightroom that I have sort of always had preset to about, I don't know, 82, which keeps the file size pretty small. And no added sharpening after, before, nothing. Just that, and that's how I've been doing it for ages.
Right. Okay. And so there, that image we get, yeah, it's fine. It's not out of focus, but it's just a little bit, doesn't pop.
No, the eyes, which is where the focus is sharp. It looks like you say fine. It just does not appear to be very sharp.
Mm-hmm. So then you tried it again this week. You tried it the exact same settings, but at 100%, the slider over to 100.
Yeah. So the quality slider we're talking about again, which is Lightroom specific.
If you click between the two, what do you see? Do you see a difference?
Yeah, mild improvement in the one at 100.
Yeah, I see very little, but again, I'm going to the eye doctor, so don't go.
It's not dramatic, but the eyes appear sharper.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you sent me the raw file. You sent me the raw file with all your settings, by the way, and so I didn't no further processing. All I did was take your image the way you processed it and exported it to get this JPEG.
And which one is that we're looking at?
It says Gary Point Prism Allen.
Okay, yeah.
So now if you click between the two, take your 100 and click on it and then click on mine, you should see a marked difference in the sharpness.
Yes, yours is more sharp.
It might be a little bit too much on that little hair in front of her face. I would probably clean that up. I did a quick rudimentary job of this. But so here's my move. I export this as a PSD file. No sharpening added in Lightroom. I resize it in Lightroom. I don't export it as a full res PSD file. So I crop it to 4x5 in Lightroom. So it's going to come out. I have a preset, export preset, ready to go for a PSD file with no sharpening, nothing done to it. Just export it as a Photoshop file at 1350x1080 max. So it comes out the exact right size. I then load it up into Photoshop and add this. This is where it's actually very simple. Now, this is where I say you can go off the deep end and you can go with very specific sharpening. I do one of two things. If it's just a quick job like this one was, I will just add an unsharp mask to it.
Yeah.
Maybe like a 0.4 at like 130% or something like that. And boom, that's it. That's all you have to do, and you get results like this. The second move I will do if I want to get really particular is I will go in and sharpen just the eyes, because that's what kind of makes the image pop. And I sometimes like a little softness around the rest of the image. But that depends on the image itself.
Right.
So then I then save it as a JPEG at 10. Not 12. 12 is way too high. For some reason, it goes to 12 in Photoshop, not 100. But 10 is the same as 100. It's about what you want.
Okay.
Now, you can go smaller. Like when I export stuff, like when I export all of my photos, all my entire library to include in the Photos app so I can access them on multiple different devices, I don't export 40,000 photos as Photoshop and go in and sharpen each one. That would be insane.
Right.
Those are the ones I trust. I export them as JPEGs at a little bit larger, 20 whatever. What is the iPad resolution? 2048, something like that.
Sure, I don't know.
I export them as that at 75% quality, which is fine. Add a little sharpening, and that's good enough for what I want to do with that. But for these ones, save it as a 10 because it's a 1350x1080 file. You're talking about, you know, a couple of hundred kilobytes difference. You're not saving anything in terms of size. You might not notice the difference between an 8 and a 10, but I really don't care. We have enough room. They download fast enough. I just save it as a 10. And that is how to get the best images for the web / Instagram.
Okay. Excellent. I'm glad. I'm probably going to do maybe some of these things. We'll see.
Well, that's the thing is I'm hoping it's going to be, I will get you set up with a export preset. So it's really, really simple to do.
Okay.
The only issue becomes the Photoshop step.
Oh, now, the Photoshop step's no problem. I do that for certain images, like I say, that I really want to pop. I've never really done that for the small images that we're going to put on, Instagram, just thinking that, like, mm-hmm. I didn't see that as the difference maker, but now that you say that, I'm like, makes sense. It makes sense to me.
Right. Right. So there you go.
Okay. So I'm very right. familiar with that step. That's really not a big deal.
Now, the other thing I do is, like, if I'm doing, you know, like, if I have 20 photos, like, let's say I took a bunch of photos yesterday of the kids out bobsledding, and those I kind of want to sharpen. I wanted to share them with, you know, my mom and dad and, you know, their Omen Opa and stuff like that. So I will sharpen all 20, which doesn't take me very long to kind of go and do and dial them in. But I don't want to then save each one as a JPEG. So I just use a simple batch processing. Here, click on these, save them all as JPEGs. It's done like that.
Right. I like that.
So that's that's very handy. So in that case, everybody, you could even, if you wanted to just do them all the exact same sharpening, you can set up an action for that. That'll open, take a whole folder, it'll open them all, apply that sharpening, save them as a JPEG, and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
We'll deal with that another day, though.
Oh, update on Lightroom and the changes that we made.
Uh-huh.
And I've edited a bunch of different photos between last week and this week and checked out things that I did on my photo walk and some pictures that I took of Jack. Not one lag whatsoever. So if anybody's having problems with Lightroom Classic, I would go back and listen to last week's episode and make those changes, because it is completely... changed my enjoyment level of using Lightroom Classic again. Yeah. Which just means it's just doing what it was supposed to do and how it used to work in the good old days. So, not one slowdown. Everything is lickety split. And thank you, listener Scott, because that was an awesome tip. I put up with it way too long and should have done something about it. And now I have, and I love it.
Life is good again.
Life is good again. I'm sure something else will come up that will make me angry and frustrated again.
Okay.
Soon. Yeah.
Well, look, you've done all the challenges, the weekly challenges that I've put forth the last little while. I was thinking about it while I remind everybody about the monthly challenge. Think about this week's challenge. Okay. I want to put it out to you. What's going to work for you. Okay.
Okay.
Monthly challenge reminder. It is the bright side. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better. Do both and tag us. At Two Hosers on Instagram. And of course, it's going to be razor sharp this week, this month. So we look forward to seeing that. Challenge for next week, Adam, what do you got?
I don't know. Instagram?
Instagram.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody's all pictures, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why it makes it really broad.
Instagram.
No, you don't like it?
Okay, just do 4x5 then. Make it 4x5 because that's the Instagram. That's the, you know what? Do the perfect photo for Instagram.
The perfect photo for Instagram.
Not the perfect photo, because I'm sure that's some sort of Kim Kardashian thing. So
every photo I do is the perfect photo for Instagram.
You do not take photos for Instagram. I know this because I deal with it every week where it's like Instagram crops your images and there's nothing I can do about it.
I'm going to consult my daughter, because she is someone in our house that uses Instagram, and I'm going to say, let's take the perfect photo for Instagram, and we'll see what this inspires.
Okay. All Instagram. Right. Doing it for the gram. That's what the kids are saying.
Yeah.
They're probably not saying that. They're probably doing something else by now. They're Snapchatting behind your back. You don't know. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take care of that next week. Websites. Adam, still nothing, right?
Nothing.
You're living the life, man. You're living the dream. However, you can find my stuff at alanatridge.com. The two of us, except for amazon.ca, at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.